The alleged teenage shooter's chilling threat, changes to WA rent laws, and how AI is changing medicine. It's Friday, the 26th of May.
The West Live with El Giorgio and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, El.
Hello, how are you?
Great. It's always good to have you in the studio.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Don't know where Maddie is. Probably a birthday weekend
somewhere.
Yes,
I believe it is. Pemberton, I think you said.
Oh, Pemberton, lovely.
Good time of year.
You know what? There's one place down there that's a bit of a fancy getaway spot. I bet that's where he's gone.
I have no doubt.
Yeah. Very fancy fella. Now, let's talk about the story that has shocked WA this week, the shooting at Atlantis Baptist College. What do we know now?
Well, more detail has emerged this morning. Very disturbing. If it wasn't disturbing enough, now it is even more frightening. It's alleged that the 15-year-old boy who allegedly fired the shots into his old school called police after he had fired the shots and said he intends to kill people.
Mm.
I mean, how much worse can it get?
Yeah, that, I know.
It's straight out of America's playbook when you hear that.
It really is, right? Like, it's so familiar to what we see play out in America all too often, but completely unknown to us here. You just think it would never happen here. And then you see the body cam footage from the police where they take the alleged perpetrator into custody and then walking around the empty school looking for the students who are hiding in cupboards or under their desks.
It's just so eerie, those shots. And the other element to this too is when police arrived on scene, they weren't sure whether he had actually gained access into the school. So you can imagine when they got there, they had no idea really what they were walking into.
Yeah.
And we're not used to this here. Mm. It's terrifying.
And you know, I learned yesterday in doing some research around this. So there are actually a number of schools that do active shooter training in Perth, which took me by surprise.
I had no idea about this either. Look, I don't have a child who's of school age, but you think being in the news, being in this swirl of the world, you would know that?
Yeah.
I admit it, no idea.
Yeah, same. And my daughter's in year six now, and she's never had to do anything like that. But I know kids who have, and there's a whole process. You know, like there's a special code that they broadcast over the PA, like, you know, Mr. Smith is wanted in the car park, and that's the code for everybody. There's a shooter on campus. Just terrifying, but I'm sure. And all the kids thought, oh, we'll never need this.
Wow.
And then after this week.
Yeah.
Well,
We obviously do, and it's better to be prepared than not.
Yeah, absolutely, as we saw. And now tell me about this gunman who's on the run in Busselton.
Oh, funny how these things come all at the same time, right? Like, we don't really have stories like this often in our state. And then, two on basically in the same 48-hour period. Yeah, so this man, police say, held up a gun store in Busselton. He took a long-arm rifle and some ammunition, and he took off. And this morning, almost 24 hours on, still out there, still armed and dangerous. The advice, of course, to the public is if you recognise the man or see him, do not approach, as I say, armed and dangerous, but call police instead. But yeah, another
terrifying,
very
really
concerning incident.
Yeah, indeed. And this man was driving a silver car believed to be a Holden Commodore wagon or something like that as well. So
yes.
Anyone with any information being urged to call police on 131 444. Definitely do not approach him, that's for sure. And now we've spoken a lot on the West Live about real estate in Western Australia, the property market, and in particular the rental crisis. And now the state government has got some strategies to try and alleviate the pain for renters.
Yeah, they do. And very interesting. So encouraging rent bidding to be banned and only one rent increase a year for tenants.
Yeah.
What's better than that?
Yeah. Well, they've thrown in a few crumbs for landlords as well, because they haven't put a maximum amount that increase can be.
True, there's no cap.
So there's no cap on that. The other interesting thing for me was this overhaul of the bond system. So for people who haven't rented for a while, you know, it's like you pay your bond up front, and it might be 4 weeks rent or whatever it is. And then if you damage the property, you only get a proportion of that bond back when you leave. And that money is used to fix the property. This change is going to see the funds will be triggered as soon as the departing renter requests them. So they just get the money, and the landlord will have to lodge a complaint with Consumer Protection to recoup the costs.
That sounds onerous.
It really does, doesn't it? Like, if, you know, if Joe Bloggs has put a scratch in the paint in the lounge room or something like that, and it's going to maybe, you know, $150, $200 to patch it up, you're going to go to Consumer Protection for that?
Well, look, yeah, I don't know, but I'd love to hear the data that the government has collated to come to that decision.
Yeah.
Because it's true. How is that easier?
It's such
a, and how's it fair?
It's such an interesting debate, right? Because I think in this debate around renting, it always pitches the landlords as evil landlords,
yes,
and renters as, you know, total scumbags. And the reality is probably the vast majority of people are nice and do the right thing. So I guess you just hope that any changes to legislation protects the majority.
Yeah.
When not just kind of like focusing on the outliers that just ruin it for everybody else.
Exactly.
And now talking about things that are ruined, parking at Fiona Stanley. Like, good luck getting a parking spot there. The West reported on it last month, highlighting queues that were stretching 100 metres from the entrances and major concerns of what would happen when a new maternity hospital ends up in that precinct. FSH has come up with a plan to, I don't know, deal with the parking. It's a bit unusual, though.
Yeah, get on a bike. That might
just
work.
Just don't come to work.
Or don't come to work. It's weird. I mean, we're not in the pandemic anymore. So, you know, I think we're running a story today, actually, about how one of the big banks is absolutely discouraging people from working from home to the point where the practice will be banned. So for one of our major public hospitals to say, yeah, yeah, go do it so we don't have the parking problem, I don't really see.
And how is it even a problem, right? Like, surely when they built this hospital, it has a capacity and they would have a car park to suit that capacity.
It has to match the infrastructure,
I know,
doesn't it?
I know. Well, staying with medicine and health for a little while longer. So we hear a lot about the perils of artificial intelligence these days, right? Like how it's going to ruin society. Everybody's going to lose their jobs. And look, I'm as guilty of it as anybody else. I love a robot apocalypse story. But it turns out that scientists have found a good use for artificial intelligence, and it's not writing their scientific papers for them. It's actually discovering a new antibiotic that can kill a deadly species of superbug. And so this particular superbug has been identified as one of the three worst by the World Health Organization. It's resistant to antibiotics. It survives on surfaces and medical equipment in hospitals. It's a major, major problem around the world. And in a world first, these researchers have trained an AI, an artificial intelligence, to look at thousands of potential drugs to attack this superbug. And then they've set it loose on 6,680 chemicals who we didn't know whether they would work or not. Ooh. And if you think about how long it would take to even test one chemical in like clinical trials, the AI did it in, hang on, I'll tell you, the AI did it in about an hour and a half.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. And narrowed it down to a short list of about 200 from the 6,500 chemicals that now they're going to test in a laboratory. And they've already found 9 that potentially will work as an antibiotic. And they reckon that the first AI antibiotics could be ready by 2030.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not that far away.
Not that far away.
AI is freaky but helpful.
Yeah, freaky but helpful. I think that's the best way to describe it. And the interesting thing for me about this was because it's been so specifically targeted to this one bacteria.
Mm.
Like, you know, you take antibiotics and they can have side effects.
Yes.
Because it's just such broad spectrum, you know, medicine.
Mm.
Whereas this AI antibiotic was like so targeted.
Wow.
Might not have any side effects. Interesting, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah. We'll see where it goes next. Who knows? AI. So it's a wild, wild frontier.
Oh, yeah. Sport.
Like, you're not really a Dockers or an Eagles supporter, right? Are you a Carlton? Did I imagine that?
Oh, I think you imagine that because I'm Greek, but that's fine. I do like Carlton.
So you're calling me racist?
Yeah. Greekist?
Racial profiling?
Racial profiling.
I do have a lot of Greek friends who go for Carlton. Hello, George out there.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm more of an Eagle.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't mind Wallyalup either.
Well, Wallyalup, a.k.a. the Dockers, take on Melbourne this week. They're on a 3-game winning streak. And if they beat the Demons at the MCG on Saturday, I think, you know, we can say Flagmantle is back.
They're looking pretty good.
They're looking pretty good at the moment. And a big part of that is Luke Jackson's return to form. And he's going to play his old team. He won the flag with Melbourne in 2021 before he joined the Dockers on a whopping $900,000 contract. He hasn't been amazing in his first few games for Frio, but he's been pretty good the last 3 games, and so he's been a big reason why they're on this 3-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Nat Fyfe is also back, so he'll start and play the entire match after coming back from a foot injury, his plantar fasciitis. And for Eagles fans, I don't know if you even want any news at this point. Like, all the news has been bad for the Eagles, right?
It is just dismal. It's not good.
Grim. It is grim. And they take on the Bombers at Optus on Saturday night. Normally you'd go, do you know what? That's a very winnable game.
Mm.
But the numbers don't favour West Coast. Do you want to know just how bad the stats are?
How bad?
So the Eagles have now lost 17 of their last 18 games outright and their last 8 by a margin of at least 40 points.
Ouch, that is bad.
That's real bad, right? And that includes, of course, the 116-point loss to Hawthorn last
week,
who only had one win before they played West Coast. Essendon sit just outside the top 8. They're in 9th. On the ladder, and they've had 5 wins this year, and the last one came against Richmond last Saturday night, which, you know, prompted Damien Hardwick to kind of pull the pin on his coaching career. Will a massive slaughter by the Bombers this week mean Simo will do the same? I don't
know. Well, it's pointing in that direction a little bit, isn't it, with the leave.
I know. It's just, Ryan Daniels' story on that was fascinating.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting indeed.
Not positive for them.
The Wild West.
You remember Salt Bae?
I so remember Salt Bae, yes.
So for people who came in late, he's a restaurateur in London, a Turkish chef who became famous for his very theatrical way of sprinkling salt on his meat, sort of cocks his arm and sprinkles it down his forearm. Very weird, but it went viral on social media.
Oh, big time.
Big time. Well, a Vietnamese noodle vendor has landed in hot water for imitating Salt Bae.
But doesn't the whole world imitate him doing that?
Yeah. Everyone else does and gets away with it. But in Vietnam, maybe be a bit careful because in his video, Bui Tuan Lam spread green onions on his noodle soups like Salt Bae. So he's got, instead of salt, he was doing green onions, which I like that. But it was actually a political statement.
Oh.
Because days earlier, Vietnam's Minister of Public Security, Tho Lam, had been at Salt Bae's restaurant in London and had eaten a $2,000 steak covered in gold leaf.
Oh.
And a lot of Vietnamese people, when the video emerged online, were like, you know, this is a bit weird. This top communist official is eating a dish that costs more than his monthly salary.
Communism, eating gold.
Yeah. And he just paid a visit to the grave of Karl Marx in London as
goodness.
Well. And so the noodle vendor was kind of like imitating Salt Bae, going, oh, look at me. I'm going to have a Vietnamese minister come to my restaurant. His noodle store went viral as well.
Oh,
business went
him.
Through the roof. Didn't turn out that great. Vietnam, as it turns out, not that fond of political dissidents. They interrogated this guy who owned the noodle shop, closed his noodle stall. He was arrested. And guess what? He's just been jailed for 5.5 years.
For that.
I feel bad for him. 5.5 years in jail for a Salt Bae impersonation.
Oh, my God. We're so lucky to live in Australia. Salt Bae all day. Oh, my goodness.
Salt Bae all day. Yeah, that's it. That's a great little motto for the weekend. Salt Bae all day.
Oh, thanks, Ben.
Yeah.
Happy for you to take it.
Well, El Giorgio, thank you so much for joining us. And that's your news from the West Australian for Friday, May 26. Don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. El, we'll have you back on Monday.
Yes, see you Monday. Thanks, Ben.
You've been listening to The West Live with El Giorgio and Ben O'Shea.